Podcasting 2.0 for August 21st, 2026, episode 268, Dead Hanging Safari. It's summer. That's right, everybody. And when it's summer, it's time to do a podcast. This is Podcasting 2.0, the board meeting of all of the boys and girls who make up the band of misfits that create better podcasting for you. This is where we meet. In fact, we are the only board meeting you can't find on a map. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, the man whose database is still backfilling longitude and latitude digits. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, the pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
Something happened with the audio there.
Oh, what happened? Yeah.
I don't know. Suddenly you got far away.
I got far away?
Now you sound normal again. Oh, but when you went into the intro,
Hold on. I know what it is. Hold on.
Okay.
This may help. I had to set it to voice only yesterday for Rob Dew. I had Sir Ducifer Rob Dew on No Agenda.
Okay.
And he had, I don't know, he was probably at the Alex Jones studio and had some kind of crappy connection. So I had to drop him down to voice only on clean feed so that we wouldn't have a delay.
Okay. It was wigging me out because you sounded normal and then you went to the intro and it was I was like, wait, where'd you go? You're like in the next room.
Up here, don't worry.
It was that, but faint. I'm like, wait, this can't be, Bart. This is not right.
I'm sorry.
Do you mute me while you're doing the intro?
No, you can jump up and down and do all kinds of stuff. Have you considered doing it?
I've considered lots of things, but I was eating some chips and some potato chips, and I was like, wait.
Oh, no, you'd never hear
am
that.
Am I coming through?
No, you'd never hear that. No.
Why? Why would you never hear that?
Because my processing is overriding you.
Oh, so you wouldn't get any of that?
Probably not. No, probably not. People don't understand. When you do a podcast, you got to process that thing, man. You got to process it.
Process it hard.
You got to process it. I need a flat line on the waveform.
I don't even know what that means. Nothing. Gate. You're gating me out.
If you look at the waveform of any podcast I produce, you won't see peaks and valleys. You just see a flat top and a flat bottom.
That's the compression.
That's compression. Exactly. I'm a little heartbroken.
Please, I'm here for you.
I know you are.
Tell me where you were hurt.
I was so excited to see radar.rss.io. Which is, of course, the boys over there at RSS.com. They made a beautiful map out of the location data, out of the endpoint that you provided. I was so excited. I'm going on the map. I use RSS.com. And I could not find my podcast anywhere.
Which one? Okay, let's do this.
We get to do this.
Radar is on RSS.com.
I diligently fill out location every single show.
Well, maybe you've not been picked up yet by the
oh, index. Well, then that's an incomplete release.
Yeah, of course it is. I make no promises. Okay.
I was disappointed.
If somebody's at fault here, it's clearly me and not Alberto.
It's a beautiful vibe coded project. I presume it's vibe coded. I'm just.
Oh, I doubt it is. I bet you it's not.
You think he went in there with a text editor and did all that?
I think that. Well, it says there's a link to the GitHub. Let's see if we can see anything. Contributors, Alberto.
If you look at my GitHub.
All Claude.
It all lists Claude lists itself.
Yeah. I think Alberto is a, I think he's got like a PhD or something in computer science.
He has a PhD in AI, man.
I think he actually studied for that stuff. Maybe he wrote the course. I don't know. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
I just feel like that I feel like there may be some help from AI or something, maybe. Oh, but I feel like 90% of this is him.
Hold on a second. So Eric P. This is interesting. Eric P.P. says it needs podcast location tag at the channel level.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, that is true.
That was not explained to me.
Is yours not at the channel level?
Well, let me take a look. I fear now.
This
I fear.
Is only channel level.
Let me see. There is.
I'm afeared.
I'm afeared. There is no interface on RSS.com to add it at the channel level. Well, this is an outrage.
No, there's not. That's not true.
True. What do you mean it's not true? It's true. What do you mean? I'm looking
false.
At it.
This is misinformation.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
See? Okay. I told you.
Well, it's not where you'd expect it to be.
Okay. You are going to show up on NewsGuard.
Like gonna? Really? Gonna?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're in the list already.
Okay, location added success. I'll tell you why I didn't see it. Because if you go to your dashboard, the RSS.com dashboard. I go to the dashboard. Yeah. Then I select my podcast and it says edit my podcast. I edit the podcast and it says edit podcast title, description, public website, and podcast feed. Then it has podcast details, category, language, author details, copyright notice. So no, but then you go to settings, which I then guess it does that go for all of my podcasts, which is wrong.
Because probably not. Wouldn't think so. Yeah. I wouldn't think that would be all of them, would it?
Well, it says, so here on settings. Oh, let me see if it changes if I change it to a different podcast. Let me see.
I bet it does.
Well, let's check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong. But I'm wrong, as usual.
You've been wrong twice, and we're only 10 minutes into this.
Not even 10 minutes in. Okay. So how soon before this updates? Am I there yet?
Let's see. I could probably run it.
Let me see if
I would have to. Did you pod ping? You made a change. I bet the pod ping went out. Let me
check.
Let me give it like 10 minutes, but I'll rerun it.
Let me check my feed here for a second. Let me see if it's in there already. Okay. Location. I don't think it's in. Oh, yeah. Location. Yeah, location
is in. So it's in there?
It's okay. In. Yeah, I'm in. Location is in.
All right, let me run.
Yeah, run it, baby. Then I'm going to go. I want to see myself pop up. So, but that is an interesting point. You know, if I'm doing a podcast from different locations around the world, that's not going to show up because the item level is ignored. It's just like a second-class citizen.
Yeah, well, why is that a problem, though?
Well, isn't the whole beauty part, the whole beautiness of having location? Because there's two ways you can use it. You can use it, and both of those interfaces are surfaced on RSS.com's interface. You can use it where this podcast is created or what this podcast is about, a boot. So if I'm in Canada and I want to show people that this is a boot Canada, the week after I'm in Rotterdam, you can't do that by individual level. This is just, it's a thought mistake. This is clearly a violation of all of the Cridler standards. What do you want to say? What do you say to that?
What I say to that is I just noticed something.
What did you notice?
That we've crossed the 8 million mark on Podcast Index ID numbers.
Holy moly, that's a lot. Congratulations.
The newest one that just went. Yeah, congratulations to nobody.
Yeah.
The most recent one that just went in is 8,757,000. We didn't have a banquet or a.
No, we did not have a celebration. No celebration. Okay.
One of those ones where you're like, when your car rolls over to like a million. miles or whatever that you get out and you push it the last tenth of a mile just to as a celebrate. We needed to do that. So let me. I'm trying to check, see which one.
You know who's there? Paul's Wildwood Assembly podcast shows up. Nice, nice. He's there. But I'm
podcast
still
location. Well, I'm about to run the thing.
Run the thing. Run
generate
it.
Location list. PHP. Enter.
Run it. This is very cool, though. I like this, but it's still. I think there's a. You know, are we not going to do episode level location tags?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak. I'm not Alberto. I cannot speak.
But wait, are you for him. Are you exposing those? Though is my question.
Well, he wanted.
You're putting this on Alberto. This you are pushing off responsibility onto a man who doesn't even. He's not even from America.
It's a disability.
It is a disability.
Yeah. Like, what does he even know about podcasting? He's not Merca.
Seriously, he's not Merca. No. Why is he even in this company?
I'm going to offload all of the problems that I can't explain onto him because he's not here. And it's super easy to do that.
Don't say that because then I'd be like, hey, I want to be on the show next week to talk about why I'm to blame for everything.
I'm to blame for
you. Can't have that.
The location stuff picked me right up. KDAV, boom, right on the top.
Yeah.
There's other things. There's one in Homewood.
Yeah, but I don't care. I want to see me.
I'm trying to find you.
This is so unimportant.
I'm trying to find you. Where? How do you search?
How do I search?
Globe.
No, I'm doing a near me. Near me all. I've even set 30 miles. But,
Where's the, let's see, radar.rss.io.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's a search where you can search my name, right?
No, I don't see a search. Where do I see a search?
I could have sworn I saw that. Did you? Okay, here, do this. Go back to the homepage, radar.rss.io.
Okay.
And do force refresh at the bottom. To make it pull the newest cache from where I just rebuilt it.
Okay.
My number went up, 3,339
Number
podcasts.
Went up, number go up.
Number go up.
Cache locally 0 minutes ago. No.
Okay, now try to find yourself.
I'm looking at it. There's nothing.
You did the podcast near me and it's still not. What is your location set to?
My location is right here in Fredericksburg. I clicked the little location thingy. I'll do it again. Just to make, you say, I got a map. You are here. Okay. That looks accurate. I am here.
Reset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Made here, about here.
I'm on a Bozo filter. That's what's going on here. I'm being shadow banned. You're shadow banning me.
That's Alberto's like, we can't have him on here. This is just not going to work. It violates his terms of service.
I'm getting as far as Austin, Texas and Dripping Springs. So I should be, which is actually incorrect because I'm set to 15 miles and I should not be getting Austin because
Austin says
21 miles. This, the whole thing is bogus.
We get to do this.
There's no search though. There's no search bar.
I'm looking.
I don't know what you're talking about. This, I see no search.
Bang. No, I was wrong about the search. I could have sworn there was one, but I guess I'm thinking of something different. Yeah. I'm trying to find your podcast index ID. It's 747-3440.
That's what I was about to say.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
747. I'm looking directly in the database.
In the table. You're looking in my personal table.
In the NF locations table, search feed ID. Okay, yeah, you're in there now. Okay, so now let me regenerate it.
Okay.
You may have got picked up after I did it. Okay, so generate. Now, currently I have 3,339 located podcasts listed on the page. So I'm going to refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Force
mm-hmm.
refresh. Oh, it went up by one. 3340.
Okay. So I'll refresh. All right,
you do it now. You do force refresh and then see if you get 3340.
Force refresh. What do you mean? I
3,340 located podcasts ready to search right there, like above the force refresh button, like in the little box where it says all made here, about here, right under that. It should tell you
3,340.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So now see if you show up.
Nope.
Really?
No, really. I'll refresh. I'll refresh. Force refresh. I got New Braunfels, Lake Travis, lots of Austin. I should be at the top. No. Nope.
Did you put your geo coordinates in there? Did it ask for that?
No, it gives you a list. You type in your... like Fredericksburg, Texas. It gives you it auto completes. So there you go. Fredericksburg, Texas, Gillespie County, 78624. I select. It's probably not even in the feed.
Well, let's find it. We got to get to the bottom of this.
I agree, because you know the whole point is that you get the RSS.com dude who made this is all jitty about how cool it is. And then his customers, actual customers.
Okay. It's all in there. It's in there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I see it. It's in there.
78624.
Geo. I am geo30.2752011, -9 or 8.8719 or 843.
How far away are you from me? Fredericksburg.
About 4 hours in my airplane.
I can't type that.
What is OSM? What is OSM? I'm an OSM.
OpenStreetMap.
Oh, cool.
Finally, you're enjoying something.
No, I am.
It's a good change.
I am enjoying this debugging process. This is exactly how we have always done everything.
Okay, you are 862 miles away from me. So I'm going to extend my search.
Extend the search.
1,200 miles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And say, find podcasts near me, which is actually not a very accurate statement now that I've exerted. None of this is near me. 138 miles. What's the show?
We get to do this.
All right. I'm up to 347.
I have my location, my OpenStreetMap. Everything is in. Everything is good. But yes,
I'm up to 613 miles.
No.
Let's keep going. 658, mm-hmm. 707.
I'm just going to go to True Fans. I'm sure they support it.
Yes. you know that they do. 862 miles. Okay. We're in the ballpark now.
Please. Hey, True Fans.
I'm 860 miles.
TrueFans.com is something different. That's interesting.
Did it change?
No, I think it's .fm. There we go.
Oh yeah, .fm.
TrueFans.com is, what is that?
Probably.
Let me see what that is. 2027. Be the tailwind.
We get to.
What is this?
it's there. I'm looking at it. We get to do this. It's right here in the list. It says it's 744 miles away from me.
Okay.
In Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, Texas.
Well. How come I'm not seeing it on mine?
Oh, this is
very, very strange.
Map. Let's see. Yep. Links out to the map. Yep. There's Fredericksburg. Yeah, I see it.
Now I see it, but it says, oh, okay. I see the problem. Apparently, this podcast made here, and I am literally...
It is.
I'm literally 5 minutes from the church. Is 62 miles away from me.
Well, Fredericksburg's a big area. It's a big town. you're just putting in Fredericksburg. You didn't give it the exact street address of the church.
But
Fredericksburg.
Accurate. Fredericksburg is no. You're almost
no.
62 miles away. You're almost in Austin. So. I don't know why it has me.
Well, where does it think? But it's using your browser location. Where does your browser think that it is?
Well, how do I ask it that?
Use the robot or something. Where are you?
Let me go to Maps. Let me see. Go to Maps. Let's see where Google thinks I am. Google. Ask Maps? What is this? Ask Maps? Oh, brother. More AI slop. This
Google crap.
Yeah. Well, it puts me.
I bet you it puts you somewhere goofy like Austin.
No, not at all. No, it puts me
Where are you getting this information?
What do you mean? I'm just
from like, Google Maps.
Yeah, I'm just opened up Google Maps and then it shows. What does it show me? I mean, it opened up Fredericksburg, approximately where I am. So.
I just wonder, like,
yeah, it's centered right on here. It says I am at 30.3116288, comma, minus 98883 9948.
Ah, that's your problem.
No, it's not.
You should be at 33147.77.
Bingo.
Anyway, we just debugged this in real time. That's clearly the problem.
It's not, no matter what you say, it's not 62 miles away.
It's the lat-line triangulation hypothalamus inversion. That's your problem.
Okay. Well, we're fixed now.
This is a beautiful product.
It's a beautiful product. Yes, it is. Is the
stream going down?
Is it? Oh, it looks like it did go down for a minute. Yeah. Huh. It's back up. Yeah, it's back up.
Okay.
Yeah. Some stuff happens. Anyway, radar.rss.io. Your results may vary due to road and weather conditions, but it's a beautiful product. It's a beautiful product.
Due to browser geolocation. Static.
Okay. It's great, though. I love it. I can't wait to see what else people make with this wonderful new endpoint.
I guarantee you this was handcrafted line by line. By Alberto, in the way that somebody would coil a coffee mug on a one of those clay spinner things.
Anyway, are you ingesting episode level geolocation?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
For sure. All
right.
We were doing that first before we did the channel level.
Okay.
And well, so good. All that stuff is in there. And okay. The part I had to build was the channel.
Right.
Location. Cause
it's interesting though that it has to be channel.
That's not you. No, I would assume that he's probably just going to, you know, add that later or something.
Well, this is a new,
or maybe this is a proof of concept.
This is a new podcast app, the way I see it. How come I can't play a podcast?
Huh? Oh, good question.
This is what I would be doing. I'd be
very
like,
very good question. Well, I mean, you can click through to Podcast Index website to play, but we don't want to be your player though.
No, we're not a good player.
No, it's horrible.
Playa.
play. We're not that either. We're not very good at that.
You know, this should be integrated into pod.link.
Daniel J. Lewis, stop it. Just stop. I'm not. Look, man.
What did he say? Come on.
He said, are you ingesting chapter level location information? I've only got so many hours in the day, brother. Like, I'm lucky to have gotten out what I got out this week. Which this is not, location is not the only thing provided to the world this week.
No, what you provided to the world this week, an unbelievable, just an amazing.
Now I'm not sure what you're about to say.
An amazing, you fixed a bug that not only did you fix it, but it was merged within like a week.
Pretty quick.
To a repo that where there's a bunch of probably like, I don't want to say anything disparaging, but most of, you know, kind of like, you know, who are you, man? We know what we're doing over here. The WebKit people. And you want to explain this? Because this was merged with, and seriously, I think it was in a week or something.
It's a little bit longer than that. It's a couple of weeks.
Yeah, explain the problem and how you fixed it, because this is a, you're right, it's a gift to the world.
I provided the, well, it's July 30th. So what, 3 weeks?
Okay.
Yes, I did provide a gift to the world, in the form of a bug submission to the WebKit repository. So let me explain what was happening. So as part of the work we're doing with Godcaster, we were ingesting a lot of live 365 audio streams. And the first issue that we had was getting the metadata out of the ICY interleave.
Yep.
That happens in the so these Live 365 broadcasts a few different stream types. They do HLS as well, but the main one that most people ingest is the MP3 stream, and that stream is just MP3 frames, in an endless stream. Just so it's basically it's essentially the same file format as the MP3 file itself, and then if you want to get metadata, so like album art, song title.
Yeah, all the groovy stuff. The stuff
all the cool stuff.
Looks good, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to get all that to display, then you have to request it from the ICY from the Icecast server. And the way you do that is through a request, is sending a header along with the request of ICY-metadata1. And so when you do that, the stream that you get back, the response, the byte stream response that you get back from the Icecast server will contain the metadata interleaved into the frames, the MP3 frames. All right, well, the problem with the number one problem is cores.
But wait a minute, it wasn't DNS, because that's always the number one problem. But we ruled that one out.
The number two problem is cores. CORS is cross origin resource sharing, and it's a core part of the security principles that govern web browsers and how they operate. So, for security, the main browser firewall against shenanigans is cross origin. So you cannot execute code in one domain that came from another domain unless
it's permitted that specifically.
Yes, by the server of that other domain. So you have the solution to allow this in certain trusted cases that was settled upon was CORS, CORS, cross origin resource sharing. So a server can send a CORS request, and if the a client can send a CORS request, and if the server supports CORS, if it wants to allow its code to be touched by other domains, it can say yes, this is fine, and it can. There's a whole protocol for how to respond to that with in the response headers. So the issue is CORS by default only responds with GET requests. I believe by default, maybe POST, but there's only a certain set of methods and headers that are sort of part of like the base default. So a CORS request is allowed to, I think, to do GET and POST and also by default, and also have certain base headers like range request, date, all the normal headers, content type, content disposition. If you add any headers in your CORS request that are not part of the standard set, you have to do a second call before you do that call to alert the browser of what this CORS request is going to be capable of sending. So if we want to send from our, this begins to get pretty complicated, but
no
if
kidding.
if we want to send, so think about this app. Okay. If this browser app wants to start playing a Live 365 audio stream with metadata, the browser page code itself has to send a CORS request to, because it's going to be sending this ICY metadata header, which is non-standard.
And you want to display it in the player, which is on the web page. I'll just help you along here.
Exactly. So if you're going to send that non-standard IC metadata header, you have to send what's called a CORS pre-flight request.
Pre-flight? Why is it pre-flight?
Because it's before your main request.
Why is it before your main request?
Because it's going to go. Because it's going to check with the server ahead of time to see if that header, if those headers you're requesting are supported by CORS.
Ah, okay, I got you.
So headers, and this is just as an aside, headers can be dangerous. Some people may not realize this. But headers themselves can be dangerous in certain circumstances. That, you know, buffer overflows can happen that way.
Dave, hold on a second.
I've got a buzz.
Are you eating chocolate again?
No chocolate love today.
Take the chocolate love away, man. Okay, you're good.
Okay. So headers themselves can be dangerous, and that's why CORS limits them. So you have to go. You're like, okay, I'm going to call Live 365. With the IC metadata header, when you do that, the browser is going to send a CORS pre-flight request.
Right.
And that uses the HTTP options method.
Wow.
So the options method is sent along to the destination host with the request headers that you're asking for. The server then will either deny it or respond with the appropriate header saying, yeah, this is fine. That is just standard behavior.
Right.
As part of the CORS documentation, what it says is that the body of the response of this options pre-flight response, the body can be a text description of some sort, like header allowed, or this is fine, or just some piece of text.
Here's what I think happened. You put in this, you put in this pull request, and the guys who are maintaining would like, dude, this guy sounds so knowledgeable. Just merge it. Just merge it already.
That is not. I promise you, that's not what happened.
Merge it in. I'm sure this is exactly right. Whatever Dave Jones is saying, merge it.
Yeah, that's whatever happened. That's not it.
Okay, so you fixed it.
So, let me finish. Reply. We're going super nerd here.
The members of the board are falling asleep.
No, this, even Eric PP said this is way too complicated.
Yeah.
He said, what happens if you just throw the headers at the server without the options check? Well, it's the browser that's enforcing this.
Yeah. And that's Safari specifically, right?
Well, you can't, all of them.
Oh, okay.
You can't stop it from sending this. If you have non-standard headers, it's going to check. It's going to send a pre-flight request no matter what you do.
Mm.
So you have to deal with this. And so what was happening was every time you send the request, every time we sent this request, it would work. First, we had to get Live 365 to add CORS properly.
Props to those people over there at Live 360. Yes. Props to them, man. That was beautiful. And I love that they just went, oh, yeah, okay, we'll work on this. And they did. So they didn't quite do it at the first time. Then the second time, like, oh, okay, we'll fix it. They did it. That was really, I was impressed by, that was the internet of the old days, like 90s. Hey, man.
So much.
Your stuff is broken. Okay, I'll fix it. That was beautiful. And they're not a small company.
But the two attempts to fix it actually is part of this story. That's what caused us to find this bug.
Exactly. So did you credit them on the PR? No.
Absolutely.
Oh, you did?
No, I did. Yes, I did. I totally did. Yes, I said. Well, if you call credit saying that it was their fault,
give me some credit, man. Give me some credit. It was their fault.
I just need some credit. But so the first time
you've got me giggling now.
Did Adam even read the PR? Of course he didn't read the PR.
You know what I did? I said, give me a summary of what just happened here.
So the issue, so what I did was I contacted them and I said, look, I can't. It was weird because the way their system works is they have a front door node. I mean, this is typical CDN behavior. They had like a front door node that you would hit. So something.live365.com or FM or whatever it is. You would hit that trying to get the audio stream, and that node, that server would respond properly with a chorus response saying, yeah, you're good. Hmm. The next thing it does is it 302 redirects you to an edge node on their CDN. So you get bounced to a different server.
And that's where it failed.
That server would deny the chorus request.
Right, got it.
And so this to us
that's exactly what I read in the pull request.
You did not. what we told them was like, hey, look, this looks like maybe a misconfiguration on your part, because you clearly are allowing cores in the front door, but then when you bounce over to the actual stream box, it's killing it. And and whoever I talked to said, oh, well, let me check with the engineer team. And they were like, yeah, you know, we've got it fixed now. And so this part is total guesswork on me. And Paul thinks this is the case as well, but we don't have any way of knowing this. I think what they did was they just cloned they aliased all the possible.
Oh, to the main server.
Routes.
Yeah.
So they made get, post, basically all the different methods of HTTP respond the same way. Mm-hmm. So if you think about this for a second, if you have a box that responds over HTTP to a GET request for audio streams, when I send you a GET request, it's going to begin streaming MP3, endless MP3 bytes to me. If I also make that same GET request respond, that route on the server, if I make that same route respond also to options request or head request or any other HTTP method, all of those methods are just going to begin to get the same thing. They're going to get a stream of MP3 bytes. Mm. So they just aliased options method to respond in the same way that a GET request responds.
Which could be a security issue.
I mean, maybe.
I just threw that out there. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay,
I mean, it's possible, but I don't. But here's the confusing part. So when he came back and he said, yeah, it's fixed, we got you covered, I ran the tests, the little demo to check all the, you know, things.
Yeah, you even gave him a little demo app to check. You're so good, man. I saw it.
So I ran that and I was like, okay, it works. I checked it on Chrome. I'm like, this is great. And I checked it on Android. Looks great. And on iPhone, it just
crapped out.
Bombed.
Yeah.
It just crapped. And I was like, wait, something doesn't make sense. And I could not figure this out. And so I had to get into the Claude session, and I'm like, look, I, here, I'm trying to play this thing on the iPhone. I cannot figure out why this thing is not working. And so it starts just hitting it with different things, you know, like it starts following the chain over and over and over. And it finally came back and it basically said, this is strange because when I send an options method request to the CDN edge node, it responds with a 200, but then it also starts streaming audio.
Ooh. Is that when it said, ugh, I confuse myself. Let me do this carefully.
No, that was, I love those little stupid things. This was not it though, but he said, and I was like, wait, that's probably not good, I guess. Well, it turns out that Chrome and Firefox, they properly, and I say properly in very loose quotes, because this is actually not very well specified in the core's documentation. So this really doesn't come down to a matter of WebKit, Safari not following the core spec, because this actually is ambiguous in the spec.
Hmm.
It's more of an issue of it's just probably the best behavior, because if you don't ignore the body, what was happening was Safari was properly sending the course preflight request, and the request was replying with an MP3 stream.
Not what we wanted.
And what that was doing, that was dead hanging Safari. It would never move past the preflight. So the page itself would just freeze. It could not move past that. Whereas Chrome, what it does, and Firefox and other browsers, when as soon as they see the 200 or the 202 come back,
they're good.
They move on. They're like, good, this is done. They completely ignore the body. They don't try to ingest it.
Is a dead hanging Safari, is that a mission trip I can take to Africa?
It's a ride at Disney World.
You're sharp. Yeah, sharp today, Dave Jones. I like it. I like this Dave Jones. Thanks. Yeah.
I got my chocolate. It's not chocolate love though.
No chocolate love. No love. No chocolate love. Money back.
So that was the bug report. The bug report was basically you're getting hung up by if you want to boil it down to what the problem is Safari was letting the server
dictate
its behavior.
Yeah.
And you get, that's no good. You can't do that.
Right.
And so they fixed it.
And this will help other people, not just Live 365 and browsers. This will be helpful for other applications in the future or current.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
I think I could not find this bug reported anywhere. Clearly it wasn't, because it got accepted and merged.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't find this bug reported anywhere. And So I think probably what happens is people just, it was such a confusing thing to watch that it was hard to diagnose, and people probably just figured out a workaround or just made do with never fixing it, you know? But with the product that we're building specifically for this though, that was like a complete deal killer. It was going to be very hard to work around that. So we really had to fix this.
And this concludes Dave's Bug Report of the Day.
Of the month. Of the month,
thank
baby.
Thank you, Eric PP. And then, of course, you introduced the bug into Podbing and ate up everybody's RAM. That was great.
RAM is so cheap right now, it shouldn't matter.
Cheap. Wow.
Yeah. Just throw more at it. Just throw more RAM. We'll get there. I'm not even halfway done yet.
What? You got more?
Yeah, I did more this week.
Oh, no, I thought you had more on the Cores report.
The Cores
report. There's another great podcast title. Welcome to the Cores report.
The most boring podcast ever. The Cores report.
The Cores report. okay. What else you got? Anyway, what else you got, man? What else did you do?
Oh, well, I... A podcast person tag.
Wait, before you get there.
Okay. Pausing.
Thank you. Thank you, John Spurlock. You know, Spurlock just, I always, when the first thing I do in the morning, I wake up, it's like, let me go see what Spurlock put, what he posted about. Except when he's going through like the, here's all the Apple, what is Apple's IDE? What is that called?
Oh, Xcode?
Yeah. Here's all the Xcode diffs. Like, no, no.
That's horrible stuff.
No, sorry, John. No, sorry, John. No, no, that is horrible. That is like, that's a pollution of my browser.
Mm-hmm. But, I agree.
But he posted a link to the, what is it? The ASD-STE100 Simplified Technical English, which you can tell your robot to use, and it has improved my quality of life just with a magnitude. And I'm so grateful for that.
Please describe this.
Well, if you've been using Claude Code as your robot, which I do, Claude is just, it's so chatty, and it's like, I found the smoking gun. This is the load-bearing issue we need to look at. But in my honest opinion, hey, just say the word, I'll go and fix that. Wait, I have the full picture now. You're right to push back. This shapes the entire conversation. I was so sick of that nonsense.
Gated? Everything's gated.
Well, the gates I kind of like because I have a lot
load bearing.
Well, the gates are important for me because gates is like, well, this thing doesn't pass the gate. And then I know what it is. Okay, so I understand what the gate is doing. And the gate means you don't go to the next step. I'm okay with that. But yeah, just like this on and on and on. Every single time I'd say, please, just speak in simple English. Don't talk like an agent. And they, you're right. My bad. And then it writes, and let me record this to memory so I don't do it again. 5 minutes later, It's back to. But when you see, what is the Claude? The right fit. Wait a minute. What is it? There's a here. You post into Claude, only report to me in ASD-STE100 Simplified Technical English. and you tell it to make a memory of this. It does it. And now it's like, it's still chatty, but it's not as annoying. It's a big difference. I feel it's a big, big difference. I'm happy with it. Thank you, John Spurlock.
Let's see. I'll just post that in ASD-STE100 Simplified
STE100. We have to say make a memory of it. You gotta say make a memory of it.
European Union trademark.
I don't know what you're looking at.
I'm on the. They got a homepage.
They do. Oh yeah.
ASD-STE100.org.
Yeah. Simplified standard for technical documentation. Yes. Hey, request your free official copy. This is nice.
This seems very European to me.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it has stopped my robot from spewing out verbal diarrhea. Very, very pleased with it. Very pleased.
I like how part of the definition of this thing. I can't. You sent me this, and I looked it up. FAQ. Let's see what their FAQ is. What is ASD-STE100 Simplified Technical English? It says something about the dictionary. See, approved words that a writer can use. The approved words were selected because they were simple, easy to recognize. In general, each word has only one meaning and is approved with only one part of speech.
Nice.
For example, to fall has the approved meaning of to move down by the force of gravity and not to decrease. I don't know about this seems like a stretch to me, but if it makes the robot less stupid, then fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can always undo it, you know.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Maybe there for every standard there's always a competing standard. So I wonder what the competing standard to the ASD-STE100 is.
Speaking of, what happened to Dave Weiner? Something happened to Dave Weiner.
What do you mean happened? He like blew up half his stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Is that because of Claude? Yeah, probably. Claude wrote test file. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he blew away important things.
I have no idea how useful these things would be if it destroys stuff in deployed projects with real users.
It will do it.
Yep, that's what it does. Yep.
Which brings me to some things that I've been working on.
Okay. But wait, there's more.
We'll talk about the person tag in a second. So one thing I've been doing, I'm not going to actually say what the project is. Alex Gates found, he spotted a little bit of it.
Mm.
But I'm trying to challenge myself to not really use AI more, because I use it every day in various ways.
Oh, I know what this is. You deployed a Linode and had Claude do something.
No, not Claude. Oh. Not Claude.
Oh, Pi. Pi?
Pi.
Pi, yeah.
Yes. Pi. So,
which according to ASD is a tasty dessert treat.
There's only one meaning.
There's only that's one meaning. Only meaning. It's like apple pie. Yes.
So one thing I've not done much of, because it just terrifies me. Because
you don't live like me on the edge.
I'm not a YOLO kind of fellow.
Oh, I'm not YOLO. Uh-uh. I'm not YOLO.
What would you use? What's a better term then for the way that you handle your robot?
Dangerous would be the term. Dangerous.
That's worse than YOLO.
Dangerous.
That's intentionally sketchy.
But completely dangerous. Yes.
Reckless.
Reckless, yes. Reckless is good.
Hashtag reckless.
I'm like, yes. Gordon, go ahead, deploy to customers. I'm good. It works.
Yeah. The interaction between you two is really funny, because you're like, wait, you put this live on a customer? He's like, yeah. And you're like, you weren't supposed to do that. And then like 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, I'm fixing it. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
We're doing it live.
Yeah. You're like, hey, that actually worked out. Let's keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay.
So what I did was I created a Linode VM in an account that had nothing else in it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So this thing is, it's in a
it's
silo.
It's walled off. It's siloed. Yes. It's gated. It's behind a gate.
So I did that, and then I've had this idea for a project forever. And I mean, for like, I don't know, 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
It's always been in the back of my mind, and I've always kind of thought, I wonder if that would work. And I actually started writing it before AI and anything, it was even a thing, or LLMs were even a thing. And so maybe, I don't know, 2022 or something. And I had some stuff written, and I was like, you know, this would be a really good project to test out, like a fully autonomous agent setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something I just really never do. The way I use AI is I have a problem that I can't solve, and I go and I get some help with it. And that's because I don't trust it.
Are you familiar with the Claude setting that is basically go ahead, do anything you want, live dangerously?
That will never happen.
It's awesome.
No, no. Well, that's what Pi does out of the box.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. It has no guardrails. And so I thought, okay, well, let me just point this thing at this repo that I've been having sitting here for years. And so this is Pi connected to what I use Pi for mostly is podcast index related things. So helping me build the model, the local model for on the DGX Spark for classification spam classification. It runs the classifier. So it's doing, it's basically anything podcast index related is usually, I don't typically do Claude stuff with that. Sometimes the only project I've really done on that is, help with that is Podping because I just didn't understand Eero enough. So I've had, I did that, but everything really like core podcast index related is usually goes through, the local DGX with Pi. And I thought, okay, I want to try out this new Quinn 3.827B model. It's supposed to be the new hotness. And I also want to get a feeling for just like autonomous agent stuff. So I threw the 27B model onto the DGX and I just aimed Pi at this repo of this project that I've been brainstorming for years and said, here's a VM in Linode. Here's an SSH key. Go try to build this thing. And I was just like, I'm just going to step back and go have lunch and come back later and just see what it did.
Mm-hmm.
This thing worked for like 3 hours.
Wow. Nonstop.
Chugging nonstop.
Didn't ask you, is this okay? Can I move ahead? None of that.
Never asked me a single question.
That's cool. Yeah, I love it.
Just chug, 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 chug at SSH into the server. It started launching stuff. It started doing like... It started creating accounts. It's horrifying. It's all horrifying.
Creating accounts on the server?
Yes. Nice. Yes, to run things under as non-root and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I have it loosely attached to the podcastindex.social Mastodon. And so I saw it posting stuff, DMs. And I'm like, I'm just like that's trying awesome. not to lose my lunch. And it's been a fun experience. And I'll talk about what it actually is later if it ever gets to some sort of like state that is usable. Mm-hmm. It's all just a fun project. And I want to see what these things do and how they handle stuff. It's a learning tool for me.
It's fun to watch. I agree. It's super fun to watch.
And I can tell you this, when it comes to the podcast index.social, the Mastodon thing, the ActivityPub parts of it, it stopped a couple of times and was like, it was having trouble getting that right, like Mastodon HTTP signing.
Mm.
And it was like, it looks like the Mastodon server is just, you know, it's not set up right. You need to contact the administrator. And I'm like, this is BS. And so I was like, look,
I'm surprised it didn't send me an email.
Man, yeah, it has no email access. I'm not that crazy. But I said, look, go, here's a repository. And I pointed it at the podcast index activity pub bridge. I said, go look at this repo and learn all the right ways to do this.
Yeah.
And it did. And it said, oh, you know what? You're right. I was doing it wrong. I'm like, yeah, I know you were doing it wrong.
My bad. My bad.
Yeah, my bad. My bad. And that's all handwritten code over there, baby.
Yeah.
So, it's been fun. It's chugging along on something right now. I got no idea. The fun part about Pi is that you can see all of the thinking that's happening. So all the reasoning mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is all gets hidden from you in Claude.
No, you can do control O and it shows up.
But that shows you tool calling, but it doesn't show you the reasoning.
Control B.
Control B?
I think it
shows you the chain of reasoning?
I think so. Maybe not. Huh. I don't know.
Okay, I'll check. I thought they hid that by default, like maybe a few months ago because it was possible. Yeah. But you see the thinking, and I like that because you can see it going off the rails, you can stop it.
That's exactly. And in Claude, you just type stop all uppercase and it goes, okay, waiting for input. it stops right away.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just fun. It's a fun project I'll throw it out there at some point, but if it works. But it got me thinking, though. I mean, like, if it is good to have like this one, like throwaway environment.
Oh yeah.
That's not important, where you can really just let something loose and see, you know, it's not going to hurt anything, you know?
And here is Adam's begging of the day. I'm begging once again. Could you please put a big button for funding tag on your podcast apps? A big one, like right there in the episode. Put it right there, right underneath the picture.
What prompted that?
Because what prompts it is our own app. Every single time I play something in the Godcaster app, I'm like, there's a big button, a big blue button that said whatever's in the feed, like support the show. It's right True. There. It's right there. And it's calling out to me, and I love it.
Yeah, true.
I love it. I know. Did anybody move any further with the splits in Stripe or anything like that? I have not kept up with it.
I haven't seen anything about it. I mean, Daniel was doing stuff.
Nah, he's doing location tags in chapters, super chapters.
No, I thought he was doing the funding thing. I don't know. People are doing stuff.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I think it would be great. Just saying.
I added a new person endpoint though in the API.
Okay. What can we do with it?
Well, let me get the name of the endpoint first. That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because I can't wait to ping it.
Don't just ping it. Request it.
Daniel Lewis says Daniel J. Lewis. Says I'm figuring out the Stripe splits. It's unfortunately not as easy as I expected. Oh, all right, I got you, brother.
Okay,
I'm gonna tell my robot to look at it. Come on, robot, fix it.
Uh-oh, Linode's chat.podcastindex.org emergency maintenance.
Uh-oh,
she's going down.
She's going down hard. Did you just get an email about that?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the endpoint. Oh, here it is. Okay, so the new API endpoint in the index is episodes/by person.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you can give it a Q equals and then the name of the person. So let me
with spaces.
Yeah.
Okay.
URL encoded.
Do Rob space do DEW. See if he shows up on No Agenda from yesterday.
Rob DEW. Let me open Postman.
Get the Postman here. Always rings twice.
Old movie. Jack Nicholas, right?
Yep.
Okay. So here we go. So Rob space DEW.
Mm hmm.
DEW.
He already has 15 karma points in the boardroom. That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, episode 1896. Just do it.
Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you... So here's the... let me post this. Copy. I'll put this in the boardroom. That's going to be the...
That was fast, too. Was that an actual...
No, it's quick. It's quick.
Actual mm-hmm. database query? Nice.
It is. Yeah, it goes straight. And so it gives you the... It gives you the episode and the Jack Nicholson. I'm sorry, not Nicholas. Jack Nicholson. It gives you the episode metadata and it attaches the person object to it so the person tag object to it as well. So you get it all back in one sort of big blob.
Hmm.
Copy that.
Yes, PP monitor is down, baby.
Wait, what?
PP monitor at podcastindex.org. It's down. It's down.
Down hard?
Down, yes. The page.
Oh, that's the emergency maintenance. It's running on chat.podcastindex.org. That's why.
Well, okay.
What? Yeah, they're emergency migration to a new host.
Wow. That's Linode?
Yeah. Yeah, we're down hard.
Down hard, people. All right. Oh, this is cool. I see it here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't have my authentication header value set.
Oh,
you're buzzing.
You gotta fire up Postman, man.
You're buzzing. Well, again.
I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not doing anything.
You're buzzing. Well, you're buzzing. Whenever you do that, it seems to help.
What, shake the ice?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Postman. I'll just shake it every now and then.
Why is Postman not responding? Postman.
Hmm. Postman.
Hmm. I don't know where it went.
Yeah, so that's, so the person tag is, we there's two, you know, we've always had search by person. And that's just like a raw text search that we're sort of munging on the back end to get it to like recognize people's names. And but that's just searching like the text, like the descriptions and the titles and all. So this is just a text-based search. This is actually zeroing in on the title of the person's name in the podcast person tag in the feed. So now you kind of have two ways to search for people in the index now.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was asked for it by somebody and I was like, you know, that's a great idea. Let's go ahead and do that as fast as possible because that data is in there.
Yeah.
But it's again just because of time constraints, I never finished making an endpoint that would make it usable. So it was like this, you know, just half finished thing. I'm like, okay, well, this, you know, this is an easy win, you know.
You're amazing.
That's not true.
You are. No. You're an amazing man, not Dave true. Jones. Yes, you are. It is an honor and a privilege to work with you. It is.
Oh well, I agree with that. Okay. I love simmer down, working with you guys.
Simmer down, Skippy.
No, I'm talking about you, not me. No, I agree. I am a privilege to work with.
Sorry, misunderstood.
No, I love working on stuff like this because it's when people ask for things. That's something I do want to. It just got weird. It did get weird. No, Alan, you're amazing.
Oh, brother.
I love working on stuff like this because people ask for things and you realize holes, things you missed, you know,
mm-hmm.
When they say, hey, how about this? Could you give me this? I'm like, oh, you know what? Why did I never think about that?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's just the power of like social, you know, community stuff.
Community. It's about community. We have such a good little community. We do have a good community. This community's been going for 6 years, man. And we never had a fight.
Not a single one. Not a
single fight. It's fantastic. No one blew up. No one shut down the repo. No one deleted the repo. I've seen it all.
Paul Theroux on Windows Weekly this week used a phrase that made me chuckle. I was laughing out loud in the car. I forgot what product he was. Maybe it was like some old Microsoft product. He said it was briefly excellent. I just thought that was a funny phrase.
Briefly excellent. Well, yeah, that's most software these days is briefly excellent. It seems.
Yeah. Perfectly describes the world we live in.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everything is briefly excellent.
Yeah, it really truly is. But I was talking to a buddy of mine who works at Databricks. You familiar with
Databricks? I've heard of that.
Yeah, Databricks.
Yeah, what is that? Data center company, right?
Well, he's a sales guy, so he gave me the spiel and my eyes glazed over, rolled up inside my forehead. I'm like, stop it.
As much as the cores conversation we had?
No, because I understand the cores problem. Okay. Now they're like a middleware somehow. They protect your data as you onboard into their silo. Anyway, and he was telling me something that you and Paul were discussing, not Paul Theroux, but Paul Bailey,
mm-hmm.
That all this enterprise level software is just shipping full of bugs and crap.
Yes.
And the company where you work at depends on this type of enterprise software.
Well, we all do. I mean, you know,
well, yeah,
to some degree. I mean, if It's a huge problem. And I think it's directly related to speed of code coming out of these AI agents. I just think people are not thinking carefully. So the problem, you know, I told you I've been reading this book, The Master and His Emissary.
No, I don't think you told me that.
It's been a few weeks. I told you. It's by a guy named Ian McGilchrist. And it's about the hemisphere, the brain hemispheres, the right and left hemispheres.
Oh, yes, and, of course. Of course we talked about this, yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be very difficult to give broad strokes on a book like this because it's just such a sweeping thing.
It's so dense. It's so deep, man. It's deep.
It's dense.
Dense.
It's super dense.
Dense.
But I think what we have built when it comes to LLMs, what we've essentially built is a left hemisphere that stands on its own without the guardianship
of the right hemisphere.
Of the right hemisphere.
Hmm.
I think maybe we talked about before, like the brain structure of this, the left and right hemisphere, they're joined by the corpus callosum, that big bundle of neuronal cords that
connects.
Attach them together.
Yeah.
And there is a theory that one of the purposes of that corpus callosum bundle of nerves is not to facilitate communication always, but in certain terms to prohibit.
It's gating.
And you can't tell this from brain scans. You can't see, okay, you just see activity. You can't tell what the activity is. So you can't tell if it's like stopping something from happening or allowing something to happen or what. And so this idea there's an idea that there may be sort of an adversarial relationship between the hemispheres.
Sure, I believe that. That sounds right. Sure.
By necessity. And that without that adversarial relationship,
you delete your repo.
You hard down your server.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the left hemisphere is really it sees the world in terms of the picture it has of the world is built up from parts. It's focused on tool use and seeing, you know, building its view of the world up from pieces. But the world's not really built that way.
Well, hold on a second. If true, and I'll take it at face value, wouldn't we be enhancing and sharpening our right hemispheric skills when watching the AI do stuff?
For sure.
Which is not a bad thing.
Right. So I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoy what we were talking about a while ago, watching the reasoning chain that's happening as this thing is doing its deal. Because I'm sort of being the overseer and trying to spot things because I'm engaging the right hemisphere, which sees the world as a whole,
mm-hmm.
not built up from parts. It sees the world as a fully functioning system in itself. And that's why one of the premises of the book is that the right hemisphere needs to be in control there's this old idea of it calls, we call them left and right hemispheres nowadays, but they used to be called the major and the minor hemisphere. And if you think about it in that context, the right hemisphere needs to be the major hemisphere. The left hemisphere really is a tool because it has no awareness of the world as a whole. It just sees pieces. And I think what has happened is we've, with LLMs, we've built essentially a standalone left hemisphere. And when you let it run the show, you really do end up with bad, very bad outcomes.
Dead. You can wind up dead.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, because you have no, there's no adversary there that's pushing back and saying, hey, whoa, no, you don't understand.
What's the name of this book again?
It's called The Master and His Emissary.
I'm having trouble sleeping, so I want to make sure I master.
You will not sleep with this book, I promise. It's actually a page turner.
Oh, it's a page turner.
Now this is a condensed version. This is of a larger work that he did that it will put you to sleep, but this is the sort of accessible version of this material. And I think that one of the hallmarks of the left hemisphere is that it lies. It lies all the time.
And if you enjoy this type of deep analysis from Dave Jones, along with his extremely detailed bug report
course,
please support Podcast Index.
that was a good one.
I'm segueing us out.
Golly, it's like 10 till 2.
I'm telling
Holy
you.
Holy cow. Where did the time go?
Coors.
I'm sorry.
No, I apologize to
everyone in the boardroom.
No. It was the location tag, I think, is what ate up 50% of the show.
Probably. Yeah, that's true. Debugging. That's your fault. That was you.
Completely my fault. Not Alberto. It's my fault. That's right. If you would like to support the index, the entire project is funded by the people who support it. And this is just a catch up between Dave, myself, and the boardroom. We're not funded at all by any of this. Only the index is for the machines that run it. And we feel it's a very valuable project. It's been going for 6 years. We hope to keep it running forever. So support us by going to podcastindex.org. Now at the bottom, you will see a big red donate button, and you can support us with PayPal. Can people still support us with boosts? Are we still receiving boosts? Yes.
We're 100%.
Have you put my, I guess I'd have to see myself on the splits here. It's kind of complicated.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking to see, wow. Okay. I'm seeing, here we go. I see a boost here. Mm-hmm. Because my helipad is still channel-less. So I can't see any boost that came in now, except I do see Martin Lindeskog, who gave us a row of ducks because it came through as a true fan's comment, which is kind of nice.
What, have you not opened channels to anywhere else?
No.
No.
Well,
you should try doing that.
Yes, thank you. But, the whole Start 9 shuts down, and then, everything breaks. Okay. It's the tour. It's the tour part of Start 9 that fails every couple of weeks, and it's not something I've been able to figure out. But then it just fails, and then it silently fails, which is not good.
No, silent failure is the worst type of failure.
Yes. So are you able to pull out the boost that we've had so far? Because we'll just do the boost for this week for next week. It's just, there's no real time interaction. I'm sorry, people. I will open the channel.
You know what? I've been on fire this week. I not only have done all those other things, but I also fixed the export, the Albi Hub export thing.
Oh, good.
So I can actually read boost now.
Oh, excellent. Good.
In a sane way. But let's see. I'll read the PayPals first, though.
Boost. Oh, sorry.
that thing. Yeah. New Media Show, $22.20. Oh, is that right? Is that the New Media Show? Wait, or is that Martin Lindeskog?
Eric PP, yes. Oh, Eric PP says I should have a channel. Eric PP, you rock, man. Let me check. He says he said I should have a channel. Let me check. Yes, Buckfeets.
No, this is from Martin Lindeskog. He says, here's a row of ducks.
Yep.
The support this show button is working on True Fans. All the best. $22.22.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Martin.
Of course. True Fan supports everything. Let me check and see helipad. Let me see if it'll open up. Yeah. Yeah. I love the stay logged in for 30 days. It never works.
Never. Nope. You get about a day and a half.
If that, let me see. Hold on a second, Dave. Let me check. Let me see what I got here.
Okay.
Thank you, Eric PP. Eric PP. Yes. There we go. 1 minute ago.
You got a channel.
3,333 sats from Eric PP. Thank you very much. We have 59 sats here. That's Martin Lindeskog. Okay. 2222222222. Yes. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We got... 100 sats from boostmebitch.com. Thank you.
Yeah. I saw that one too. Yes.
I got 100. One's a 400. Oh, and 1,000 from boostmebitch.com. What is this?
Is this Chad F? I think this is Chad F.
It's great. Beautiful. Okay. And then anonymous podcast guru user with 10 sats. Thank you very much.
There we go.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, thanks, Eric PP. Eric PP is a good man. He's a good man.
He's a good man.
A good man.
Michael Goggin, $5. Thank you, Michael. Jorge Hernandez, $5. The boys and girls at Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Ho, ho.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Keeping the vibe alive. Thank you.
Silicone florist, $10. Paul Allen, he says, note emailed, $20.
Did you get an emailed note? Let me check.
That's a very good question.
Let me check. Maybe I got...
I don't see.
Dear Adam and Dave. Dear Adam and Dave, says Paul Allen. But I guess this is recent. If you're frustrated with Bitcoin and Lightning, here are some quotes from a guy who worked in the industry that confirms it's not just us old farts who are struggling. Quotes from Mechanic on a recent episode of Guy Swan's Roundtable Show. Quote, 99% of my time in support is BitAx people trying to use Lightning. Once a week, I get an email in support for Ocean where someone says, you just paid me, but I don't have any coins in my wallet. What happened? And then I do some digging and find out this wallet has no way to deal with Coinbase payouts because it's never happened before to anyone that's ever used this wallet. And I usually email support for whoever that company is. It happened with Coinbase. The company Coinbase that named itself after the Coinbase transaction didn't know how to process Coinbase transactions. Thank you, Paul. That's great.
Yes. Confirmation.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Got it.
Josh Hoover, $20. He says, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We will. We plan on it.
We try to.
Michael Hall, $5.50. Todd Cochran, rest in peace, $30. Thank you, Todd.
Boosting from heaven.
Gene Liverman, $5. Thank you, Gene. And we got some boosts.
Here we go.
Here's the boost. I also have some boostmebitch.com.
Boost!
279 sats from with a test message, test received. We got a 58 sats. That's good. Let's see. I got some more. Oh, here's another one. Chad F. at fountain.fm. He says, 185 sats. He says, no Nostr login needed for boostmebitch.com.
I got to take a look at boostmebitch.com now.
Yeah, I guess I got to do that too. Let's see. Boostmebitch.com.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you guys are nuts.
This is cool. Okay. Oh, this is nice. I like it. So I could put this. Oh, it's. But underneath it says live on Nostr.
He said no Nostr necessary.
Right. So okay. So
maybe it's optional.
Podcast index, podcasting 2.0. And we're way down on the list. Okay.
We get to do this.
So I can do boost, enter amount. Okay. 1,000 sats, optional message. Boost. Okay. From.
Why can I not boost? We get to do this though.
I don't think we have a. I don't think we have it set up.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, and now it's asking for my Albie. Okay.
Pod News. Let's go Pod News.
Okay. Let's see. Okay.
Pod News Weekly
boost
Review.
Me, bitch. Connect.
Oh, yep. Yeah, boost.
Confirm. Error. Undefined. Request failed with status code 500. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yep. Okay. It's too bad. Mm-hmm. I'd love boostmebitch.com. Can you just pop up a QR code? That would be. Oh, now this.
Oh, that would even be better. Yeah.
Now this window won't go away. That's hilarious. I close the window, it keeps popping up.
It really wants you to boost that.
It really wants me to figure this out. That's amazing.
With a name like Boost Me Bitch, I don't think it's going to take no for an answer.
All right. I love the idea. I would love a QR code, just a QR code.
Let's see. Oh, the Delimiter, comic strip blogger.
There he is.
11111 sats. Howdy, Dave and Adam. Please tell your audience to subscribe to Podcast Made in Texas, www.justtwogoodoldboys.com, a podcast by Gene and Ben. They talk not only guns, but also content creators, things, etc. Fun fact. Ben gave me interview about how to run big LLMs on home NAS on the cheap. See my YouTube channel, Yo, CSB AI Arch Wizard.
Arch Wizard, Arch Wizard, Arch Wizard. That's it?
That's our group.
All right, good group. Thank you very much, group. Thank you, Boardroom, for sticking with us. Believe it or not, I enjoy it when you do the, when you have a bug report followed by a brain report. It's good.
A brain report.
No, it's good. It makes me. I am going to get this book because now the more I think about it, the more I see the issues in society.
Are you somebody who likes to read on paper, or do you do audiobooks?
I do audiobooks, but I enjoy paper books. I've never been able to really get into Kindle or anything like that.
If anybody likes audiobooks, the narrator for this book on Audible is very, very good.
Hmm.
It's very easy to listen to and a nice pace. It's just a very good listen.
Yeah.
Nice for walking the dog.
My favorite audiobook is The Kid Stays in the Picture.
Oh, I don't know this one. Let me look it up.
Robert Evans.
Robert Evans. Why does that name sound
familiar? Robert Evans produced The Godfather, Love Story. He produced so many Hollywood movies you would know.
Okay.
And he narrated it himself. And it's brash. It's funny. He was married to Ally McGraw. I mean, it's a boomer book for sure. But hey, everyone likes Godfather. Mm-hmm. There's something about his reading style that just, it drew me. It's like 6 hours, just drew me in, and I barely even stopped listening to it when I listened to it the first time. It was so good. It makes a difference. A good read makes a difference.
I just got it on Audible, so I will queue it up.
Did you get it with one of your free 12 credits? Which always seem to expire.
my son has always had really bad dyslexia. And so he's a good reader now, but through school, we always supplemented what he had, his reading with Audible. Mm-hmm. And so we always had like the max subscription of Audible. And so we were like, it's still going. I haven't even discontinued it yet. And cause I'm like, we have like 1,000 Audible books in there, man. Every single thing you can think of. Like it's so many credits.
You got credits, man. You got credits.
I get a credit. You get credits. Get a credit.
All right, everybody. Thank you for being here at the board meeting. Brother Dave, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, sir.
See you next week, everybody, right here at Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening.
listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
The whole thing is bogus.